Astrid and James were this year's.
Astrid and James. Girls' names going down the top 10. Thea, Sadie, Riley, Elise, Avery, after making a murderer, I guess. I don't know.
Avery's been popular for a few years now.
Rowan, Elsie, Finley, and Jade.
Finley?
Finley. The boys, we have Elijah.
Wait a minute. Finley?
Finley.
That's not a girl's name.
Yeah, apparently.
Finley?
Finley.
I'm not dating anyone named Finley. I'll tell you that right now.
Boys are Elijah, Jaden, Elliot, Logan, Charlie, Jude, Elias, Isaiah, and Arlo.
Arlo. I got a feeling Arlo is doing real well down south. A lot of kids down south naming their kid Arlo.
Yeah.
Arlo.
So do you get a half for that?
Yeah, I got the children's names piece
of
that.
But you really didn't get the story.
I didn't get the story. Well, I was trying to get down to that piece of it. It's like I say, as soon as you say Astrid, I think Astrid Gilberto.
All right.
Which is why you shouldn't name your kid Astrid.
My last one.
That was...
Yeah, my last chance.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What do I feel like? Moto doping.
Moto doping. Oh, is that the thing where the kids are using the motor oil that we talked about last week?
No, that was Dushine.
Dushine. Well, that's the actual product. What is it? Moto...
Moto doping.
Moto doping. Doing drugs while driving a car fast.
Nope.
What is it?
It is the latest scandal to hit the world of professional cycling. Over the weekend, Frankie van den Dresch, a Belgian cyclocross racer, fell off her bike. The bike was inspected, and they discovered that there was a motor hidden inside the bicycle. And basically what these motors do is they give you a little bit of extra punch at certain points during a race.
There have been a small motor.
It's a very small motor. There have been allegations of professional cyclists hiding motors in their bikes going back for 3 years now. And a former Tour de France winner is among those who has been suspected, but nothing ever proven. This is the first time that actual moto doping, as it is called in the cycling press, has been detected in the wild.
Motor doping.
Moto doping.
Figured it would be drugs.
Short for motorized doping. Moto doping. It's always something with these damn cyclists. Like, just go ride the bike. Just go ride the bike. Stop.
The hills, the mountains. It's difficult.
Stop getting the blood transfusion. Stop pumping yourself with HGH and steroids. Stop hiding motors in the bikes. Just go ride the damn bike.
That's too easy.
And one of the points that they bring up in this is the reason that there is so much doping in this sport is because all of the best athletes are about as good as each other. There's no real like standout superstar in cycling who's 1,000 times better than everybody else.
So you need just that little bit to put you over the edge.
Like the difference between a win and a loss is like, how do I get a little bit of an edge in this place? Somebody has just gone out and developed an electromagnetic moto doping bicycle that costs $200,000 and apparently is far less traceable than the ones they have now, which involve hiding switches somewhere on the bike.
It's crazy.
Moto doping.
Yeah, don't cheat, kids.
Don't watch cycling. Is it really? But
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it.
All right, Derek Gary, your last chance. The CDC.
I would imagine that's in relation to Zika.
It is not.
Not in relation to Zika.
Nope. So I am talking about the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
Because there was, hang on a second, because there was the story that came out late today where they confirmed sexual transmission. The CDC has, I think it was these guys, said that any woman who is not using birth control should avoid all alcoholic beverages.
You got it.
Because you never know when you're going to have a drink and get pregnant.
Yeah.
And that drink you had the night you conceived is going to give your baby fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah, so they were saying women of childbearing age should avoid all alcohol unless they're using contraception. They said that on Tuesday. Now, CDC estimated 3.3 million women between the ages of 15 and 44 are at risk to exposing a developing fetus to alcohol because they drink. Whatever happened to the one glass of wine?
Does this infuriate you as a woman?
What, that you have the CDC saying, don't drink because I'm not on birth control?
Yeah.
Basically, they're telling you what to do.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
But doesn't that infuriate? Because I read this and I'm like, if I was a woman, I would be outraged by this.
If you actually listen to it, I guess. I'm smart enough to go, okay, I'm not going to listen to that. That's stupid.
Because, I mean, basically what they're saying is, ladies, if you're of childbearing age, you can't drink.
But if you listen to the CDC and everything that they say, what was it? Don't eat too much red meat because you're going to get cancer?
Yeah. And I mean,
you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
We've talked about the way that they craft their messages, which is basically written for a kindergarten audience. They're not interested in dealing with the subtleties or the nuances of everything. It's just, get information out there that will do the most good for the most people and leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, in Europe, they still let you have a glass of wine a day. The CDC press release has the line in it, we believe there is no safe amount of alcohol consumption for pregnant women.
And that's the thing. I mean, the message is coming from the CDC, and I don't take anything away from what they do. But I understand the studies that they put out every day. Half of them are a joke.
Yeah.
And half of them are very subjective.
But this,
and in the amount that you do it, it's my body. I understand it. It's mine. I'm not going to listen to this. That's why it doesn't enrage me. It doesn't get me wild up. I don't care what you're saying about alcohol.
But this is your tax dollars and your government.
That pisses me off. But you know, everything that my tax money goes to angers me. So that's just a generalization across the board.
But this one I thought was particularly egregious. You know, because this plays into that whole thing of, you know, women are these special sacred flowers and we have to watch everything they eat and everywhere they go and everything that they do because...
Because we know best, we're government.
The unborn might be affected by this. Give me a break.
Not that I'm anti-disestablishment, but I mean, there's very few things that I listen coming from the government.
So. Well, that's generally a good idea. I mean, you know... What do we say on this show? As soon as the government tells you something is okay, that's when you worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government tells you to do something, go do something else. That's generally the best idea. But I was reading this press release and I'm like, what? Why isn't the Huffington Post all over this? Why isn't Jezebel ripping this to shreds? Nobody pays any attention to it. It's appalling, this recommendation.
I was actually surprised that their last one with the red meat and processed meats got more attention and was all over CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. And this, as you said, really didn't get picked up. But it shows you what the message is.
Yeah.
What they're trying to push, the agenda.
Yeah. I mean, if they'd come out and said, you know, if you're not using birth control, don't have sex because we got the Zika. That would
then,
be
yeah,
better.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. It's sexually transmitted now. And
But you read this and they make it sound like if you have a glass of beer, in between the time you conceive and the time you realize you're pregnant, your child is going to be born with hideous birth defects. That's not
true. And maybe
true.
Also if I planned on having children, then I would be slightly more concerned, but I don't. So drink up, kids.
Just ham-fisted, nonsensical garbage from the folks at the CDC. I mean, I was PO'd when I read it. I was like, I expect a little bit more from our government than this.
Mm-hmm.
617-627-3800 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. This is The Big Picture with you until 9 o'clock tonight. I love busting this out, not just during Black History Month, but Black History Month gives me the excuse to pull this thing out every single year. We just talked about the bad things the government does with our taxpayer money. This, I think, is one of the best things the government ever did with taxpayer money, is they hired James Earl Jones, and they created a radio series for the Social Security Administration back in 1978 about Black recording artists. And the whole point of this is to get people to sign up for Social Security, to make sure they get their benefits. But it's actually a really entertaining and well-done program. So somebody cool snuck into Social Security and actually managed to get this thing done with Mr. Darth Vader himself as the narrator. So here we go, a little trip back in time with James Earl Jones here on WMFO Medford.
Security, welcoming. Hello, this is James Earl Jones for Social Security, welcoming you to Genius on the Black Side. Time was when black singers, composers, and musicians had to struggle in the backwaters. Now, in the concert halls, on Broadway stages, and on Hollywood sets, they're right up there, front and center. And right up front, I'd like to invite you to listen to a genuine example of Genius on the Black Side. Chaka Khan is taking off in 1979 as the hot new black female vocalist. Chaka's career began at the age of 16, when she first performed in Chicago supper clubs, singing jazz, rock, and rhythm and blues. In 1972, she joined up with a group called Rufus, and as lead singer for that group, her distinctive voice became familiar to fans all over the world. Chaka will sing for us in a moment after this from Social Security. A disabling illness or accident can happen to anyone, young or old. With such a disability, there's always a great strain on the family budget. And that's where your Social Security protection comes in. If you've worked long enough in a job covered by Social Security, and you're so seriously disabled that you can't work for a year or more, you may be able to get monthly Social Security disability payments. There's a 5-month waiting period, with the first payment for the 6th full month of disability. If you're eligible for these payments, your dependents will also get monthly checks. The younger you are when you become disabled, the less Social Security credit you need. You'll also get Medicare protection if you get Social Security disability benefits for 2 years. For more information, write or call any Social Security office. Someone there will be glad to help you. A big hit for Chaka Khan in 1978. I'm Every Woman. Talented Chaka Khan singing I'm Every Woman. Well, once again, it's time to go. And once again, it's time to remind you that you must apply for Social Security benefits. They do not come automatically. If you have any questions, just visit or call any Social Security office. They'll be glad to help you. Until next time, when we pay tribute to another genius on the black side, this is James Earl Jones saying so long.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash.
Fluorescent lamps.
Fluorescent lamps.
Thermometers.
Thermometers.
Thermostats.
Thermostats.
Button batteries.
Button batteries.
These could all contain mercury, so let's dispose of them properly.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash.
Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly.
Mercury is harmful to your health and the environment. To learn what products in your home may contain mercury and where to dispose of them, contact your local health department or visit keepmercuryfromrising.org. Brought to you by Wheelabrator Technologies and Covanta Energy, the people who convert your trash into clean, renewable electricity.
Know your products with mercury so you can dispose of them properly.
keepmercuryfromrising.org.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. People who enjoy winter sports can't wait for the first snowfall. But winter sports can also mean broken bones and other injuries. For instance, every year, skiing causes tens of thousands of injuries and about 30 deaths in the U.S. A lot of those are from head injuries, so skiers of all ages should wear helmets. Head injuries tend to occur late in the day when skiers may be tired, so watch out for fatigue. Using a helmet is also a great idea for children who go ice skating or sledding. Other sledding safety tips: only go sledding in designated areas that are free of trees, posts, and fences. Adults should supervise children, and all sledders should sit facing forward, but never head first. Use a sled with runners and a steering mechanism, which is safer than toboggans or snow discs. Prevent winter sports injuries so you can focus on the fun. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
1, 2, I want to basement. Let's go. Well, I landed at a shopping center in an unknown state. Unknown kind of architecture, atmosphere and trait. Unknown brands and labels, unknown market chains. The strangest collection of buildings here upon a fruited place. And let's rock.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, it is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock. When On the Town with Mikey D, we'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. You can reach us at 617-627-3800, or you can check out our shiny new Facebook page, facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO, all one word, BigPictureWMFO. Leave a post. If it's cool, we'll read it on the air, and you can say you were part of the show.
That Derek was completely all responsible for.
Yes.
Give him the congratulations that he needs.
Lisa's going to be getting in there. We'll make her work. I promise you that. Monday night, it was the end of an era here in Medford as the Meadow Glen Mall closed its doors.
Which should have happened a long time ago.
I went over there Monday night just to take a last look around. And I walked through the center doors of the mall, and I was immediately accosted by a female security guard who was coming toward me, and she was like, sir, the mall's closed. The mall's closed. And she was saying this in a very kind of a sad voice. So I turned around and started walking out, and as I started walking away, she bowed her head, and she said, the mall is closed forever. Locked the doors behind me. So I was the last one through the center doors of the Meadow Glen Mall, for whatever that's worth. And I can remember I remember years ago when it opened. Meadow Glen was kind of a big deal. You know, it was a great place for the kids to go hang out. All the kids hung out around there. All the local teens were in there because it was the closest indoor mall. They hadn't put a roof over Square One in Saugus yet. So Meadow Glen And there was the other, there was the Arsenal Mall, or not the Arsenal, the Assembly Square Mall up the street. But Assembly Square really didn't have much of anything other than a tiny movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody went and hung out at Meadow Glen. And they had a Bradley's and a Marshall's and a Radio Shack and a...
At one point, it was flourishing.
And a Hallmark and a bookstore. And it's like, yeah, everything, you know, there was a pet store in there. It was like you go in there and wander around and be like, yeah, it's a nice indoor place to hang out. In the last couple of years...
Yikes.
Yeah, everybody left.
I think the shining star of the Meadow Glen Mall was the Country Town Buffet.
Yes.
Country Time? Country
yes.
Town?
Old Country. The Old yeah. Country Buffet.
That was really the anchor.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can still get into a piece of the mall, by the way.
Meadow Glen was one of those malls where I felt like I had to Purell my entire body after visiting. Yeah, it was not a... There was nothing to draw you to that mall, necessarily. I think I went a few times to the iParty that was there. But actually, inside the mall, stay away from
it. I was in that iParty a lot. But I can remember, and this was in the mid-1990s, during the last big recession, before the most recent big recession, when some of the retailers that had been in there pulled out and dollar stores started showing up. And when a dollar store moves into your mall, that's a really bad sign.
You know, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's a really bad sign. And then when the name brand retailers start leaving and getting replaced by places that you've never heard of, that you know this is like the only location that they operate from,
mm-hmm.
there's sort of a... there's
why is there a whole store just for bamboo?
There's sort of a death spiral of the shopping mall, which if you... spend enough time in different malls, you start to recognize. The first sign is, because the big anchor stores in the end never go, the first sign is like a major clothing retailer will leave.
So maybe if you had an Express or a Gap.
Right. They leave.
That's always usually the one to go.
And they are either replaced by a pop-up store, you know, like one of these Disney stores that just shows up mm-hmm. in, you know, little open mall spaces or a Halloween costume store or something like that.
I was going to say a purse.
So the space
slash accessory store.
The space just kind of stays empty. And every year these seasonal, like, oh, the Christmas store is here and mm-hmm. the Halloween store is here. And it's, they bounce around into odd corners of the mall. That's your first sign that something's not good. That could have just been a problem with that retailer. The bigger sign, the next sign that things are going downhill is a major clothing retailer leaves and a dollar store moves in. And then a second retailer leaves and a massage parlor moves in. And then another retailer leaves and the Lucky Bamboo store opens up.
Don't forget the sword.
Where they have Lucky Bamboo and mm-hmm. swords and Japanese room
tribal
dividers.
Masks, yeah.
And incense.
A lot of incense.
And then another store leaves and someone's selling cell phone accessories. It just keeps going further and further downhill from there. And this was what happened to the Meadow Glen Mall. The thing about the closing of the Meadow Glen Mall is we all sit around and we're nostalgic about it, those of us who remember the mall from back in the day. But if you ask anybody, had you set foot in the Meadow Glen Mall in the last 5 years? Everybody's got the same answer. No. Like, why would I go? There's no reason to go over there.
And like I said, the only reason why I did go there when I was living in Charlestown, it was to go get something for a party.
Yeah.
Beads or balloons yeah. or whatnot.
It's like,
'cause it was the closest one.
I have better, cleaner stores near me. I don't need to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So really nothing of value has been lost here. Wegmans is going to come in and take over the middle of the mall. That'll be interesting. Because you're going to have Wegmans, Marshalls, and Kohl's together at last. And from what I could tell the other night, it looks like Red Persimmon Nails and the Metro PCS store will still be there as well.
It's an interesting group. I have a feeling if Wegmans has its way, it will be getting rid of the Red Persimmon Nails.
Red Persimmon's kind of hanging out right next to the Marshalls entrance.
I'm sure they will get the boot.
And Marshalls only has the mall entrance right now, so...
You have to understand, when you have these Whole Foods, Wegmans, they attract a particular crowd.
Yeah.
And they don't like certain people that they're not going to their store, so they are going to push everybody out. Trust me. Red Persimmon Nail Place will not be there.
I'm just saying, they're there now. So,
is the eye party gone?
The eye party's gone. Mm. Yeah, everything that you would want, other than Marshalls and Kohl's and Red Persimmon, is gone.
That poor buffet place. I think breakfast was maybe $2.40, $2.50.
You know what? They got another one at the Watertown Mall. So you can go over there.
Actually, there the other day, and I'll tell you how much I enjoyed that when we get to it.
Yeah. So this weekend is the full weekend before Valentine's Day. You are going to the mall if you are in a relationship. Even if you're not in a relationship, you may be going to the mall to buy a card for somebody. Because
yeah, don't wait until the morning of or the night before, because they're all picked over. Yeah, your significant other will not be happy.
Don't go to the supermarket and be like, oh, what Stop and Shop got in the center aisle, because they don't have anything that captures the way you feel. You're going to the mall. So we thought we'd take a look at our favorite and least favorite malls in the area to help give you an idea of where you should go. So Lisa, let's start with the favorites.
Okay, my favorites. Burlington Mall, number one. Natick Mall, number two. South Shore Plaza, number three.
Ooh.
Have you been there lately?
Yeah, I've been there lately.
It's great.
No, it's not great.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of stores. They have everything there.
I know they have everything there.
When's the last time you've been there?
Last year.
I pretty much go there every other week. And yeah. It's very clean, abundant parking. They have a super Target and every single possible store that I need, want.
I understand that.
About it then?
Have you ever been to, Highway of the Skies Airport in Phoenix, Arizona?
No.
The thing about this airport is they have people movers in between, like those moving sidewalks, in between the gates, because the gates are all 10,000 feet away from each other.
So you're lazy and just don't want to walk.
That mall is the size of an aircraft carrier. Mm-hmm. It is one giant long corridor, and everything you want is at the far end of the mall. It drives me. I'm not going to argue
but I'm also not going to lie that I've never parked in the Macy's parking lot and then driven over to the Target side. Yeah,
well, I mean, but that's what
has happened.
If I go there, I usually park at Macy's because I know there's parking. Mm-hmm. And then I walk into the mall and I'm like, oh my God, this is the one that's like half a mile long.
I don't mind walking though. If it has every store that I need.
The Target's underground. Okay. It's like there's weird stuff going on in that mall.
No, it's great.
The Target's underground.
Then we base our decisions on different things. So now I'm curious, what are your top three?
My top three, number one is the Natick Collection, which hands down, they've got like rotating sushi in the middle of the place.
Delicious.
It's big, but the way it's set up, kind of like Satan's trident, means that, you know, you can avoid parts of the mall that you don't need, because they got all the really high-end expensive fashion in the middle prong of Satan's trident. So you can just avoid that. You don't have to walk down there. It's great. North Shore Shopping Center.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going down.
No, it's not.
I know. You're saying it's going up because Nordstrom's, and there's parts of that mall, though, that still just... Have you been down the segment where Sears is?
Yeah.
It's still crap.
No. No. When's the last time you were there?
Around Christmas time.
It's less crap than it was.
But it's a lot of useless stores. It's a lot of stores that are specific brands that you can get
sports down there.
I know, but it's really picked over one. If I'm going to go for a sports, I'm going to go to a Dick's or a Sports Authority.
They got the eyebrow threading place in there.
I'm not getting my eyebrows threaded there. But you know what? When a place has something that I can buy in Macy's, say like a Bear's Minerals, they have a whole store for just that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like Teavana. I don't need a tea store. The whole Nordstrom's row is all just these individual brands that I don't need.
Oh, they got Godiva. They got Teavana. Zara is down there. Brooks Brothers is down there. Trying to think of who else is down there.
But I mean,
Aerie down there.
Mall got completely elevated just because Nordstrom's came in and brought these higher end.
Lower level's got the North Face. that brain games store, whatever the heck that thing's
called.
Completely useless. People are in there all the time. Some people like to shop there. They got the place with the, what is that, a woolly mammoth? No, it's an old bear fossil or whatever is in the window.
Oh, it's like the kids.
Or the giant sloth or whatever the heck the thing is. No, it's like they've got a lot of major brands in there. So a lot of the stores you would go to the mall for, they got a few unusual stores because Nordstrom's aren't common around here.
Mm-hmm.
Natick's got one. They've got one. Burlington doesn't have one. They got a Newbury Comics in there. Everything's a little kind of spread out and goofy the way the mall's laid out.
I don't think it's a bad mall.
But it's an efficient mall, and it's like you can go there and buy a lot of stuff and get out happy.
But if I was halfway between Burlington and North Shore, I would go to Burlington.
I go to North Shore now more than Burlington. Because Burlington, other than having the Keurig store, has all the same stuff that North Shore does.
So we're basing it on our preferences of stores. Yeah, you're basing it on how much you have to walk.
Yeah. Burlington's got a better food court. I'll give you that. So, I mean, it's...
And better. And you also have to look at the surrounding area. Burlington Mall has better surrounding restaurants if you don't want to actually eat in the mall. Same thing with Natick. Natick is phenomenal.
Burlington Mall's got that hotel with all the meth heads in back of it. And it's like, North Shore doesn't have that. All the meth heads are over at Liberty Tree. So, you know, I would say six of one, half a dozen of the other.
All right, so what's your number three?
So my number three is the Cambridge Side Galleria. Which, no, let me give credit where credit is due.
I should not have to pay to park at my mall.
Here's the thing.
Should not have to pay.
It is T accessible. It is boat accessible. Now, we are suburban creatures, and we can drive and we can go to a suburban mall. That's fine. For everybody who's in the city and can't, Cambridge Side Galleria actually is a pretty decent urban mall.
No, it's decent. I'll give you decent.
And it's like on that basis. I mean, I'm not,
generally learn a new language every time I go there.
I am not going to go out of my way to go there. But if we're talking about a decent mall that serves its customers well, they've got all the stores that you want in there.
No, I mean, I'll give you that.
Great food court, nice compact layout so you can get around.
But
going
also,
up different floors can be a pain.
It should be free.
Yeah.
If you purchase something.
Granted.
You need a receipt and you actually have to purchase something in the mall, it should be free to park.
I think the parking situation is appalling, which is why I don't go there. Unless there's...
And it's not even like a good setup underground.
No.
It's you go down one way, it's dead end, you're backing out, somebody else is coming. It's incredibly awkward and...
But it's on the Green Line. And when I lived in Boston and when I lived in Alston... Being able to hop on the subway and go to that mall was fantastic.
No, don't. My mother allowed me when I was 13 years old, maybe even 12 years old, to get on the commuter rail. I would get dropped off at Beverly, take it over to North Station, and then take the T over to Cambridge Side Galleria.
Yeah.
Because we were cool and wanted to go into town.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because that's how I got so accustomed to the city at a young age. I knew where things were. I knew around Cambridge and the greater Boston area because I went there as a young kid. I mean, think about it now. Would you let your 12-year-old go on a train? And no.
Well, I would because I probably wouldn't like the kid. But
there you go.
It's a good, affordable, everyday mall that's right on the edge of the city of Boston. It's easy for people to get to. And it does, it's like I say, it does what it does well. So if you're in the city, if you're stuck on the T, if you can't get to the Natick Collection or Burlington or North Shore, which are all nice malls, you can go there. And you're going to find a lot of the same stores and a lot of the stuff that you need.
And don't have to pay the markup that you would at the Prudential.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the bad.
So you're a Burlington girl, I'm a North Shore guy. That's really what it comes, that's the difference between the two of us. Now we both like the Natick Collection. Everyone should like the Natick Collection.
It's fantastic.
They got everything. They get the American Girl down there. Like you go down there, they get everything.
And I'm a little more, you know, partial to South Shore Plaza now living on the South Shore.
Yeah,
I go there a lot.
My one argument is that endless walk down the hall.
I'm very strategic, and like I say, sometimes I move my car. I'm not ashamed to say that.
You have to. The mall is the size of an aircraft carrier.
All right. All right. The bad. Am I going first?
No.
You want to soften the blow?
I can go first on this. I'll go in reverse order.
Okay.
On this. Number one, my third worst in the area is the Liberty Tree Mall.
That was my third worst.
Okay, so we're in agreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two for me is Emerald Square.
Ooh, I did Square One.
Square One is my worst.
Arsenal Mall. And I only say that because I had to go to the RMV there last Friday.
That's the Watertown Mall. That's the one across the street.
Okay, so let's... Right now, there is... The Water Arsenal Project, but they still consider the Arsenal Mall, which is across the street. The Arsenal Mall looks exactly like the Meadow Glen Mall did a year ago.
It was developed by the same people.
Same stores. No, across the street is going to be beautiful. Fantastic restaurant. Actually, same group, Garrett Hawker, that runs Eastern Standard, Row 34. They just opened a restaurant in the project going on. So they're completely washing out that. The only reason why you need to go there is to go to the RMV.
But that mall also has a Best Buy and a Target.
Those are, again, anchor stores, which are kind of off. They're technically not connected.
They are connected.
So those are going to be held.
They have mall entrances.
See, I didn't venture that far into it because it was... Ew.
The Best Buy mall entrance is debatable, but the Target definitely has a mall entrance. Mm-hmm. And they've got an Old Country Buffet, don't they?
No, we actually, they do.
That could be one of your signs that the mall is going under, is Old Country Buffet has moved in.
Now, Liberty Tree Mall, I pulled up our friends at Yelp and picked out some. So we actually both chose Liberty Tree Mall. Yelp review, quote, "This mall is for trailer trash. A few okay stores, but mostly temporary garbage stores. Lots of lowlives buying water pipes at trashy stores.
Yeah.
The pet shops make me cry because the animals, who I feel bad for, should be outside of the cages and the people from the mall inside of them."
That's actually a decent pet store, by the way.
"I go there when I have to, which is hardly ever."
Yeah.
That was a one star. At least they got one star on that.
If it wasn't for that movie theater, that mall would be finished.
Oh, and it'd be 100%.
Over. And it's like, the movie theater is what screwed everything up, because
Sports Authority still does okay, but the minute Sports Authority moved from the anchor where Old Navy was,
yeah,
and moved over where Nordstrom Rack is, awful. Pick through, it's dirty.
There is an entire corridor of that mall.
They also have a Bed Bath & Beyond, which is good.
From the center of it down to the Kohl's entrance, that is completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
The only entrance down there is to the Sports Authority. Other than that, you have to walk for 5 minutes past nothing. There's no stores.
They have the bamboo store.
There's no kiosk. No, not down there. That corridor is completely void because one side is all the movie theater, and then the other side is just...
And it's a bad food court. Really bad food court.
It's got the sushi place still. Sea Lion Sushi is very good. They used to be in Salem. They're a good sushi place.
All right.
Then you go down the other side. They got an RMV, which is part of the state mall preservation program, I guess.
Which is equivalent to the Hellmouth.
They've got a...
AC Moore is fantastic.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
AC Moore is good. Best Buy is over there. But then what else is there? There's that giant, like, indoor toddler play space that never has anyone
so
in
weird.
It.
Weird. Just like the one sad kid that's looking around, kind of wondering where everybody else
is. It's taking up like 15,000 square feet of retail space.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to it, there is a permanently empty space that...
I think the Halloween store.
The Halloween store goes into every year.
Now, as we were talking about those name retail stores going out, there once was a Gap. There once was an Express. You don't make any money, you pull out.
But for some reason, the movie theater keeps people coming, so they got a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Which is always busy during game days.
Yeah, and it's
Panera.
And it's like, everyone's going to this mall for a specific reason that really has nothing to do with being in a mall. Like, I'm going to see a movie. I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm going to Best Buy. I'm going to Kohl's. And there's all this mall in the middle that no one cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And other than those handful of stores, there's no reason to be there. But for me, nothing is as bad as Square One. And I was in Square One. It happens to be
talk
next.
Talk about taking a Purell bath.
It happens to be next to my office. So every now and again, I need something and the urge hits me. Oh, I can just run into Square One and get this. I couldn't tell you the last time I actually bought anything at Square. I go in there and I'm like, oh, they don't have it. I feel dirty for being in there. So as of a week
I question my life choices every time I walk through those sliding doors.
As of a week or so ago, Kay's Jewelers has left and been replaced with a locally branded jewelry store.
Hmm.
Not a good sign. Toys R Us Express left. How bad are things that you can't make a Toys R Us Express work? But this is the big one. CVS has left. The CVS was one of the stalwarts in that mall. You still got a Macy's on one end. You still got a Sears on the other end.
Oh,
you still got
Sears
a Best Buy.
Is awful.
But everything in between that.
Dick's does well.
Old Navy is doing well up on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
But you walk around the mall and it's like, first of all, you don't feel like you're in the United States anymore.
Here's another Yelp review. A cesspool, a cesspool of human filth filled with non-English speaking shoppers and employees. Not that I expect anything less out of the area, but it's the last time I hit a mall that's not in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
That did not receive any stars, and I'm assuming the author of that was from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's sort
this
of
this one
like,
was a good one. Have you ever wanted to step back in time and wonder what the Mystic Mall in Chelsea was like?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to travel to a foreign bazaar, complete with non-English speakers. Look no further than the Square One Mall. This is the second coming of the Mystic Mall or bazaar, complete with BDs and other fly-by-the-night temporary stores. Now, may I say, BDs, they did have a home store, a semi-decent home store a few years ago. I remember going there when I first moved to Boston. When I moved to Dorchester, I happened to stumble upon DB's.
Well, you know how the first BD's happened, right? It used to be a Bradley's.
Yes.
And they just pulled all the letters off of the sign other than BD's, and that was their furniture. That was their name.
When I walked in there, it looked very similar to if a rent-a-center went out of business,
yeah,
and it was all, or if you just went, stole pieces from everybody's house and threw them in a truck and then dropped them off and put a sign on them. Awful.
Yeah.
Horrific.
That's by the way, is where TJ Maxx used to be.
But the thing is, you walk in and nobody's even in there. No workers.
There's just a lot of furniture sitting around. You're like, is there an actual business happening here?
Mm-hmm.
They just a couple of weeks ago, they arrested a couple of brothers who were selling fake iPhones parts at the Square One Mall. The Square One Mall does have a tattoo parlor.
Mm.
It is one of the few malls around here where you will find that.
Where is that located?
That's on the first level near Best Buy. Or it's on the second level on that same side as Best Buy.
Hmm. I've never seen that.
Plus, there's a smoke shop.
Yeah, of course.
Plus, there's a store that just sells perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Bamboo store is there. all of your favorites.
Mashed up into one.
There was a big story in the local paper that they had just opened a convenience store inside the mall. So, you know, it's got everything you need.
On a bad, bad day.
I walk in there and I walk around and I'm like, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
Debs. Is still there.
Rue 21.
Yeah.
You have a store called Rainbows.
Oh, yeah.
Rainbow, yeah.
Rainbow's all over the place. Rainbow is like, I think their advertising campaign should be, do you want to dress like a slut? Rainbow's got you covered.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what I see when I walk by the place.
So try to avoid it. And even,
I think Journey's left.
It's the worst entrance to get into because everybody is completely full speed flying down the highway, and you have this stop short, quick right-hand turn, and then you're at an intersection. You're like, I'm going to die. So for some reason, if you are going to that mall, go up a little more, go in the back.
No, if you are going to that mall, don't.
Yeah,
just drive up the road, go to Linfield Common, drive further up the road.
Which is fantastic.
Go to North Shore.
But Derek, you just said it, going to Linfield. Linfield Marketplace, Assembly Row are perfect examples why many of these malls are going out of business. Because people are flocking to these outdoor shopping markets, as you would say, all of your big names that are there, if you go there any time of the day, any day of the week, they are packed.
Yes, but there is a very specific type of customer that is there.
And, also true.
And we know the type of customer that is. That is the white affluent customer. And it's sort of like...
Not necessarily. For the majority, yes. But if you look at somewhere like Assembly Row, where they do have a movie theater, so it's going to attract everybody. And if you look at their food selection, it ranges from everything. A lot of their shopping stores are outlets.
Williams-Sonoma.
They do have outlets.
But this is what I'm going to say. Williams-Sonoma.
I get it.
Is there a Williams-Sonoma? If there is a Williams-Sonoma, then they are looking for rich people.
The Linfield Marketplace
has a Williams-Sonoma.
Is targeting a higher pay.
They want rich people.
This compared to Assembly, where I think it's a little more. They have a outdoor beer hall.
I know, but they also have Williams-Sonoma.
They're gearing more towards the average person.
Williams-Sonoma is shooting a little bit higher than that. And by the way, the other malls that were on our...
We can't base Williams and Sonoma on what is affluent and what is not.
Well, here's the thing. All the malls that were on our best list, with the exception of Cambridge Side Galleria, have a Williams Sonoma. Natick Collection has one. Burlington has one. North Shore has one.
Because it's a popular store.
It's a popular store in a certain kind of mall. Square One does not have a Williams Sonoma. Square One has Lucky Bamboo. And... what's happening right now is the malls and the shopping plazas that have Williams-Sonoma are the ones that are gaining customers and doing strong business. The ones that don't have the Lucky Bamboo store. And those will be developed into something else sometime in the very near future. And looking at Square One, seeing CVS gone, tells me that mall's days are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Either they're hoping to get a Wegmans down there.
If the movie theater didn't go in to Liberty Tree Mall, that would be completely gone. Why did Target go there? Why did Best Buy go there? Because they had plans for this giant movie theater.
Honestly,
it saved it.
Honestly, at some point, I think you could knock down huge sections of that mall, keep those buildings, and just build other stuff in and around it.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants to rent anything in there. They had a slot parlor operating in that mall at one point. A slot parlor.
Well, it was a large arcade.
It was a slot parlor. It had nothing but slot machines in it. And it was next door to the RMV until the state came in and shut it down. It was called the Lucky Sevens Boutique or whatever. Yeah. It was a slot parlor. 617-627-3800. The point that we're making is, if you want to get your Valentine's Day shopping done this weekend, find a mall with a Williams-Sonoma. They will have all the stores you could possibly need and a warm, festive, fun shopping environment. When we come back, what's hot? Our favorite things from the past week. And that's a thing that happened. The strangest stories from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. Have you ever heard of RBF? Resting bitch face.
Resting bitch face. I have heard about this, yes.
Yes.
I've been told I have one.
I know many people that have it. I don't think I do, but science. Resting bitch face is a thing, scientists are saying. This was a study, because, you know, our money goes to good studies. In October 2015, Abe Macbeth and Jason Rogers from the Naldis Information Technology, it's a company that developed software for observational and behavioral research. They used the company's face reader to analyze faces of celebrities that were known to have RBF. So Kristen Stewart, Anna Kendrick's one, Queen Elizabeth II, and science has determined it is a thing because how their face looks bored or annoyed shows underlying levels of emotion that are not shown in people without RBF. And also, gravity combined with genetics pull our mouths down, so blame age.
You're not using your mouth enough if it's getting pulled down by gravity. Although Bill Clinton standing back at Hillary definitely had some gravity.
Yeah.
I was expecting his tongue to fall out at some point.
So if somebody says, you know, you look like a bitch today, I'd be like, science.
Yeah. No RBF for me. I just look mean. Oscar shorts are available at a cinema near you. Now, if you're in the local area, you can go to the Kendall, the Coolidge Corner, or Cinema Salem, and you can see the animated, the live action, and the documentary programs. All three of them are there. And the way they've got it scheduled, you can pretty much see live action and animated back to back. And it's going to take you about three and a half hours. Same amount of time it takes you to see The Revenant or the 70mm version of The Hateful Eight. Only you'll get to see a lot of films in that time instead of just one. Highly recommended shorts programs this year because I've been seeing them for the last couple of years. The films are a lot better overall than they have been in the last couple of years. Live action is particularly good. A lot less blood and guts this year. Nothing that's really going to leave you on edge, like the one about the bus takeover a couple of years ago with machetes chopping people off.
Yeah.
There is one in the live action program. It's called Day One, which if complications of childbirth are not your thing, you may not enjoy that film. And the last film in the animated program, they make a big deal about, it's got, you know, violence and nudity in it. And indeed it does, but it's also completely drawn with colored pencils.
And
so it's gorgeous.
Keep your eye, too, because last year I watched the animated shorts. They were actually available on demand.
February 23rd, Video On Demand will have them.
And it was very reasonable. I think I paid maybe like $4.99.
But I'll tell you something. If you have the opportunity to go see them in the theater, because it's so rare to get to see any kind of short films in a theatrical setting at all. If you have the chance to go see these in the theater, go do it. Yes, they're in the tiny little screening room at Cinema Salem, but you're still sitting in a movie seat with 20 other people watching really cool little films. Highly, highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite things about this time of year, is being able to see those.
As we end every broadcast, each week, it's time for That's the Thing That Happened, the weirdest and craziest news stories. Florida. A woman suspected of scratching her boyfriend's face and neck claimed the man's wounds were occurred during freaky sex. An explanation was rejected by Florida cops who arrested her for domestic battery. She wanted the D. According to police, Miracle Graves tangled with Harry Johnson in a St. Petersburg apartment shared by the couple who have dated for 3 years. When police arrived at the residence, Graves said she was having freaky sex while Johnson denied any consensual sex.
Freaky.
While Johnson was uncooperative with cops, he did advise that Graves, quote, would not allow him to leave for work. Really wanted the D. An investigator noted that Johnson had abrasions and minor lacerations on his neck, face, right arm, and right foot. Graves was arrested and booked in the county jail, where she remains locked up in lieu of $2,000 bond. Graves' rap sheet also includes multiple prior battery and disorderly intoxication bus.
Freaky!
All that for the D.
Freaky sex. She's getting a little freaky D going over there. Oh, why wouldn't she let him go to work is what I'm wondering.
I just really wanted it.
The odd detail in that one. England, the United Kingdom. We never hear anything from that. A uniformed officer fled after being mistaken for a male stripper at a 50th birthday party in England on Saturday night. Mike Ober said he was forced to, quote, beat a hasty retreat, end quote, after female guests at a social club in Bradford-on-Avon, quote, went wild with excitement, BBC News reported. Ober spotted a door propped open and decided to investigate, but once inside, he was greeted with wild cheers by the mainly female guests. Quote, the party was about to get started and they thought I was early, end quote, said the engaged police community support officer who was in his 20s. He quickly left the venue and saw the actual stripper walking in. It is not known whether the exotic dancer was also dressed as a cop.
Those cops, you just don't know.
Hazards of the occupation, I guess.
Women fantasies.
Women love a man in uniform.
Yes, we do.
We will be back next week. And we do have the thing. You can go to facebook.com/